Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
How are you, Cindy? I see you're all powered back up.
I could barely log on tonight, so I went to two different computers, finally on, so... I don't know what was going on there, but I was so glad to see you were on. I'm like, okay, at least Nicole's here, okay? Like,
oh yeah,
things are under control. So how have you been doing in this summer?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Okay, and
obviously
are you getting
working
any
a
rest?
Lot and a little bit. Not as much as I should, but I'm getting some rest. It's been so damn hot, I have not been able to play with my motorcycle at all. But hopefully I will be able to get out there maybe at some point this weekend. And actually, Cindy, since you are the romance whisperer, you will be, pretty surprised, actually, I think, to know that my baby, my youngest brother, is getting engaged this weekend. So
wow.
We're celebrating some love this weekend. Yep.
Wow. And so that's great. And how old is your baby brother now?
He's 25.
Okay. That's a good age to get married, which is wonderful.
I'm praying for a long engagement, because, he's more together than she is right now. She had a rough couple of years. Her mom was very, very ill. And unfortunately, she lost her mom a couple of months ago amidst COVID. She still has some work to do, but I think that, I've known this girl since she's 14 years old. She's also 25. They went to high school together. The girl practically grew up in my house, with my mom and everything else. And, they've been together for 7 years now and, he's ready to take it to the next step. So.
Wow. Well, that is really great. So, that's the best news I've heard all day. So that's wonderful. And, I can see we have a lot of listeners. If they want to talk to us, they have to press 1, or we don't know that you want to talk to us. And I know the 786 number is Natasha, and we're going to do the 502 number as well. Can you see that one?
I see that one. Who's the 502?
Okay, she's Deanna, I think is her name, Deanna. And
okay.
I'm going to see what TJ has to say, but TJ only stays on for 30 seconds, so we're not going to, Nicole, don't get lost, okay? Because he doesn't stay
okay,
on
I'm not
long. Then I'm like, well, what do I do that he hangs up so fast? Hello, TJ,
which
you're
one
live
was
and
Natasha?
On the air.
All right, dear. I just went through the – I'm out on the water. There's no wind. So I'm going to talk more than 30 seconds. I had a lot of fun today going to the best of whatever and looking at you being nominated for Best Psychic again. I know you won it 5 times, and I guess eventually people start voting. I don't know when that starts. Soon?
Well, I don't know. We just have to get the nominations through for the Long Island Press. And
how do you get the nominations through? What I did today is I went to the, I Googled it, and the title exactly is called what? Hello?
The Best of Long Island Press.
Right, for 2021.
Right.
And then I went down to services, and then it said category psychic, and then I filled in your your information. I guess other people can do the same thing, right?
Right. Yeah. Yes, they can. And I think it's closing August 30th, so we don't have too much time left.
Yeah, we don't have much time. Yeah, that's why I mentioned it tonight.
And
I'm all excited that the last 6 weekends while we were sailing, you were working on your third book, which is called what? It's called
Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic.
And that'll be out probably. I sound like a commercial here, right?
But you I don't know when it'll be.
My book. I'm not talking about any of my books. I'm only talking about yours. And then, lastly, what is your other one? Is going to be the Amazon Book of the whatever? What was that?
Oh, Grant Me Higher Love. It's going to be one of the books they're promoting as the Amazon Kindle book of, like, I think it's either a September, October, or November, one of the months they're going to pick. So they will push that book. And it's going to be particularly pushed in India for some reason. People love, that book in India. I don't know why. So,
I love you. And, I had a talk instead of just saying I'll be home later tonight. I filled in some advertising for you. I have two books out there, but no one ever knows. They're rare books. If you get them, you'll own rare books. You know, like rare stamps, rare books. You can put them in a case and put plastic around them and say I own something very rare. Anyway, I'm going to. Is it more than 30 seconds here?
Yep. Okay. And we're going to pick up some of our listeners now. We're going to give them a chance so they can.
And Nicole, I love you too. We got to eventually, when all this wonderful COVID stuff is over, we're going to go down and knock down some margaritas somewhere. All right.
Hell yes.
At least a dozen of them. All right. Just for the COVID.
Sure.
19 of them. Between four of us, we're going to do 19 margaritas for COVID-19. All right. Anyway, I'll let you go now, dear.
Bye.
All right, ciao for now. Bye-bye.
Bye, TJ.
Well, the funny part about that is that I haven't been
drunk.
He's so cute. But the funny part about that is that I haven't been drunk since 1972. It wasn't a pretty picture, and I've never duplicated it. So I love when he says we're going to belt down a lot of margaritas. Oh, yeah, half a one maybe,
it's all right. You have one. Me, TJ, and Lisa will take care of the rest.
Oh, right. And it's funny because TJ hasn't had a drop of alcohol probably in a year, but that's good. I'm sure it'll belt down a lot.
You know what? And here, Lisa and I, like in the beginning of COVID, I guess we were definitely alcoholics.
Yep.
And then,
well, that's what happened.
Like 2 weeks
drank
in.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks in, we were like, okay, that's it. You know, weekends only. That's it.
Right, and I'm glad because remember, you were here the first weeks of COVID, like maybe I think it was the beginning of April when I said my clients are all drinking too much, so that's got to stop.
Yep.
Do you remember?
Do you remember?
I specifically addressed that on the show that people were drinking too much.
I did, but I was.
And you know that I didn't name names. I didn't say Lisa and Nicole.
It's okay. That's because I chose that I was your friend that week and I was not the client that week.
Right.
That's
so quiet. I figured you might read between the lines with that.
I read. I ignored.
Okay.
I simply ignored, just so that we're clear.
Okay, well, you got the message, you know? You got the message, so I'm glad.
I did,
because
I
it seems to be a continuing message that I keep giving people, way. And Spirit gets really like, that's it, you know, knock it off. And some of my clients will say, all of a sudden they just stopped drinking, they don't know why. I go, well, because your dead grandmother made sure you stopped with that nonsense.
Could be,
okay.
Yep.
Okay, and then we're also, the one you're going to screen is the 516-6308, and that's Susan. So we're going to start with these, okay?
All right. Now,
so
as usual, I don't do the first. I never screen the first caller. So which one of these lovely ladies would you like to do first, and then I will jump into the chat room with the other. Pick one.
Okay, we're going to do Deanna first, and then we'll go to Natasha, okay?
All right, you got
and
it.
Susan.
Well, which one was Natasha?
Okay, she's the 786.
All righty then. So here we go with Deanna. Hello, Deanna. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Deanna. So I know I have a reading scheduled with you, but you've been a little anxious to, you know, hear what Spirit might have to say. And
I got to tell you that my friend Debbie Burris has listened to 340 some odd podcasts, and she has told me about you. I hired her and her daughter both as my staff, and she has made me now obsessed with listening to you.
So Isn't that great?
It is great.
And thank you for sharing that, Nicole. I hope Nicole heard that because, you know, we've never heard someone listen to that many podcasts except a young man that had a toxic relationship that he broke up with this guy, and he was really devastated, and he drove from Chicago to Florida. And he said it went very fast because he just listened to one episode after another, and by the time he got to Florida, he was over that relationship.
So that was
a nice story. So with you, your story is that you were married for like a long time, 30 years or something, and then you got divorced?
Yes, I was married 30 years. I explained a little bit to Debbie, and she said, well, she's going to call that the man that was fit for a plan, which is absolutely the truth. You know, and it was 20 great years and 10 long years of being roommates. And so, sadly, the divorce happened, but we were not totally united and soulmates ever. So with that being said, and as much therapy as I've been through, I've done my homework, I've healed, I've had two long relationships. One was 2 years, then none for 2 years, and then one for a year. You know, I've figured that out. Then with crazy COVID and quarantining, meaning that we're all kind of staying at home and everything, I've been doing the online and meeting and social distancing and meeting for dinner and so on and so forth. So I met somebody online that I'm very intrigued with. We have talked but not met because he's in the military and he's overseas and due back in October. But I hear from him every day, and I don't know if this is – I don't know. I have
hard to do a reading for someone who hasn't actually met someone yet, although, you know, in person. And especially something that's long distance, because sometimes long distance can be commitment phobics, and when the time comes to actually meet them, they flake out. So it's kind of like until October comes, there'll be no conclusive on this, although there's a very strong soulmate connection showing up here. Surprising. I didn't expect to see that. Do you talk on the phone or just text, or do you actually talk or FaceTime? How do you connect?
We have not FaceTimed. We have talked, and it's daily messaging throughout the day and evening because of the time change of where he's at and where I'm at. And it's, you know, almost not quite, but actually it is 24-hour difference. So with that being said, I mean, I don't put all my eggs in one basket. Since I haven't met him, I still keep my line open, if you will, and I meet people and talk. And, you know, I just leave the options open and not shut myself in. But nothing else has really transpired as far as, you know, as far as feeling really connected when I meet somebody. I'm not feeling that vibe and connection when you're talking about music and when you're talking about your life experiences and when you're, you know, I'll get cold feet if I meet somebody that's never been married and never had kids, because I feel that same understanding of sacrifice is not quite the same. Not that it isn't always. There might be that rare person, but I guess just the road that I've been down. And my kids are grown and flown. They're in California, and I'm in Kentucky. So.
And where is this man from the military going to be stationed or live once he...
He's retiring when he gets back, and he lives in Louisville as well, within 30 minutes of me.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. That's nice. Okay, I like that. That sounds good. Again, I would continue to talk to him and see if you can arrange more time to FaceTime or Zoom or something where you can actually see if there's a connection that way. And mm-hmm. also speaking helps because people, there's a DNA in people's voices. And when you talk to them, you kind of feel that. So see it sometime, you know, I know the time zone difference, but you could plan something a week or two in advance, you know, that kind of coordinates just to see that. You're destined to have a soulmate, and COVID is supposed to be a year of reset and clear vision for people. It's not really supposed to be a bad year. It's just supposed to be one that we get our priorities straight. And I love that you had sent in your email to me that you had liked being married, which means you like being in monogamous relationship.
Oh, I loved it.
Okay.
I loved it.
So that, but wouldn't it be nice to be in a monogamous relationship with your soulmate? Like being in a foxhole during COVID with someone you have a really strong heart, soul, mind, body connection with. Because that's what the universe wants for you. You wouldn't have been guided to me if a soulmate wasn't coming sometime in the next 6 months to a year. Okay, you would have been guided to a different psychic, a different place. And so, I mean, I'm on the other side of the country for you, you know. Mm-hmm. And you were guided because, yes, you don't want a man to fit a plan. And maybe when you meet this man from the military, who knows, maybe he would feel like a very nice man, but it's a man to fit a plan again. And you now know that you can spend 30 years with a man to fit a plan, and it never becomes soulmate, okay? It has to be soulmate to begin with. And so, you know, you'll see with him, if it's not him, you know, there is a very strong soulmate card showing here. You know, the best thing you could do is get to know yourself really well during this period of standing on your own 2 feet without a man, because that's mm-hmm. part of what we have to do. And have you written down what your ideal soulmate would be like? Have you taken time to formulate that?
I went through divorce care class, and that's a 13-week weekly class that you go to for 2 hours. And I've truly done all of my healing process, and I don't have baggage. It's not because either one of us cheated or anything, but we truly became roommates. And he told me when I said, you know, we need to have a talk. And when I said, we're going to get a divorce, he said, we're married for life. And I said, I did get married for life, but we haven't been married for 10 years now. And the last 4 years, he lived in the basement in our son's room once all the kids had vacated. And we were roommates. And I did get married to be married. So,
right, to have a heart, soul, mind, body, to have sex, to make love, that's part of the marriage contract. You know,
Cindy, we had sex 3 times in 10 years.
Well, and see, that's not a marriage.
Loyal
that's a business arrangement.
Well, I mean, he had depression. He had high blood pressure, took medication, but there's also things that help that. And if you're not willing to do the work, you're going to just grow apart. What keeps you united is communication and being one as a couple, period. And
exactly.
You know, it evaporated. And if you're not fueling, if you're not constantly feeding it, and it's not going to continue to grow, it's going to dissipate. I don't care who you are, you know. And for those that stay married until death do they part, then it more power to them if that works for them. I have a yearning for a soulmate, and there is a difference.
Oh, absolutely. And you've come to the right show on that. And again, you know, 200 years ago, you couldn't divorce someone for any reason except sexual abandonment. Okay. Like they could beat you. They could, I don't know, do whatever they wanted. But sexual abandonment was, you know, because making love is part of the contract between a married couple. And so when that breaks down and you're a young woman, it's not going to feel right. I mean, this the intimacy, the hugging, the kissing, affection. And that's what's showing here. This is because you got the soulmate card. That's the soulmate lover card where they have naked bodies and it's a beautiful card. Like this is a lover and that's what mm-hmm. you're going to have. And, you know, it's putting that out to the universe again. Right now in COVID, it's a little hard to find people. It's not impossible, but it's a little more difficult. There is a little bit better quality of people online right now because there are people that have never been on there in their entire life, never thought they'd go on there, but now there's no choice. So I would continue, you know, to go online, you know, talk to the man that, you know, maybe when he comes back, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But until then, I wouldn't keep my life on hold at all. Because
I'm not. Absolutely not.
You know, where is he stationed?
Right now?
Yeah.
He's in, right now he's in Syria. And
okay,
the funny thing is he accidentally sent me a piece of mail when he sends me a picture now and then when he's on duty and stuff. And he sent me a screenshot, I guess, in his photos of a piece of mail, and it confirmed who he was. And so this is uniform with his name on it and everything. So if it lines up, great. If it doesn't, I'm open and receptive to whatever really the universe and God has for me.
Right. And, you know, because, again,
will I know when I meet him, if this all comes to pass, will I really know?
Well, you would really know if you, when you meet a person, because there's like, you know, you could see in their eyes, you'll have a recognition factor. Again, I'm always a little reluctant, even though he showed you that piece of paper, it not might be an accident. The fact that you haven't FaceTime troubles me because a lot of times men are pretending to be in the service online and they say that they're from the same place you are. And they create something that may not exist. That's why if he's not willing to FaceTime with you or, like, Zoom or something like that or WhatsApp, which is a free one, I would end it because he may not be at all who he says he is. Even though you saw that, like, that doesn't mean he didn't do that on purpose to make you think this is really who he is. Because, you know, the online scammers are so great, and a lot of times they're claiming to be in the military. So, so I would say, you want to see who he is, okay? And if he's not willing to do that, I would just cut it off because he's probably not who he says he is. And you know, and it seems really hard to say this about, but I have thousands of clients and I've heard way too many where people are just it wasn't who they thought it was at all, and you know, and. That's why I'm a fan of, you know, even though there's COVID and people are separated, there's no reason in this day and age that they cannot connect to you so that you can see who they are. You know, sometimes it's women pretending to be men. It's men pretending to be women. I mean, it's like there's so many scam artists out there. And so the only way we can stop that is by demanding that we actually see them face to face. If he doesn't want to do that, if he keeps giving excuses, I would kind of say, look, I can't, this is not working for me. I really want to see who, you know, see you face to face. And not just a picture, because they take pictures off the internet, people, you know.
Oh, yeah, you can screenshot anything from actresses or anybody. I get that.
I get that, too. So, you know, I just want you to see if you can't get this person to see you face to face on some sort of app or whatever. Again, you're going to be with a soulmate. Nothing looks bad in your cards. Actually, everything looks pretty good. You're getting a lot of divine guidance. But I'm glad you kind of brought this up before we have our reading because I'm not just a psychic, I'm a mystic, which means something's going to play out between now and when we talk. So I would hope that you either see him or, you know, if he doesn't want to talk to you live anymore, then you're just going to kind of say, look, I can't do this, and kind of end it. And because we want to either close this up or figure it out so that when you get your reading, there'll be, you know, other specifics coming on who your next soulmate might be. So this was good that you called in, actually, because we want to speed up this situation with this man as much as possible, because I don't want you waiting till October. And then October comes and he never shows up, this guy or whatever.
I'm not, like, when I say waiting, I'm still meeting online. I'm still talking. I leave the door open, and that doesn't mean I'm not sleeping with anybody type of thing, but dating, meeting, so on and so forth. I'm not closing the door in case this is not the real, I'm smart enough to know that it may not be the real deal. So,
right. And again, I also don't like people wasting your time talking, just texting somebody three or four times a day when you don't really know who they are.
Right.
There's something that fundamentally, even though you're not waiting for a person, but if you've been texting three or four times a day for 4 months, and you realize this person's not who they said they are, you feel pretty betrayed, okay? It's like something gets in you and feels like kind of oogie about it, and then people start getting jaded. So I'm like, nope, let's just figure it out. You know, and the same thing if you're just doing online dating, you know, just because of COVID, people saying we can't meet, that doesn't mean you can't FaceTime and have a virtual date.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my number one thing, that people have to do something virtual sooner than later.
Two more really quick questions. How is my daughter that has really been dealing with a lot of anxiety being unemployed because she's in a hot spot in California? She's dated before, but she has never felt like she's been in love with anybody. And I'm very concerned about her, but I also entrust her to God.
Right. I would be a little patient with that, too, because it does look like for her, I got the husband card was the first card I pulled. So, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about her yet. One of the most important things you can show her, though, is a better version of love, because think about, she's probably a closet commitment phobic, a little bit afraid of love, because she saw you in a marriage that wasn't great for 30 years, you know, like she saw that, you know, 20 years of it. So the best thing you could show her is, you know, you leave something that didn't turn out to be great or that had, you know, run its expiration, and show her something better. Because I'm seeing with her, part of it is she has some commitment issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be why she's not in a relationship.
Okay.
So,
and then,
know.
All right. And what can you tell me about my mom?
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you that in your own reading now, because I'm not allowed to spend more that long on one person on air. Okay. We're supposed to give like one question per person and move on. Okay.
Gotcha.
So I'll talk about your mom when we speak privately.
That'd be great.
Okay, so again, thank you for calling into the show, and we're going to try to get some other listeners tonight.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Bye. Okay, let's move on to Natasha. Okay, so Natasha.
Yay.
You screened her. Tell me a little bit about Natasha, Nicole.
Okay, well, basically, for the listeners that don't remember who Natasha is an airline worker. And she kind of has, you know, has been presented with an option to stay or go. And so she just kind of wants to know, Cindy, what do the cards say? I mean, you know, what should she do about her job right now, given, you know, the new state of affairs with COVID and the airline industry? So here we go, Natasha. You can elaborate more on your own story.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Nicole.
Hello. And it's a little more complicated because there's a visa involved here. So it's like, but what I, you know, saw last night when I drew some cards, and I'm seeing it again on this, is if you don't take the buyout they give, it looks to me you're going to be laid off pretty soon anyway. And it won't be such a great plan then when you're laid off, you know. So it seriously looks
like. So it would be better to take it now?
It, like, you know, I'm not sure how many people, like, did they say or tell anybody? Like, they're asking everybody to take this, right?
Like the entire company, yeah.
And if you don't take it, they're not guaranteeing you a job.
No.
I mean, I'm not, you know, if, you know, I can understand that they may want some people to take a layoff and then certain amount of people they're going to keep, but they're not saying they're going to keep you if you don't take this.
That's kind of what
troubled me. It's not like saying, well, they didn't say like we need, you know, half the staff to take this and the other half will stay working. And it almost looks like they don't want to hire anybody for a while. So if you don't take this, you're probably going to get laid off soon anyway without a 4-month cushion or whatever. So it doesn't look promising not to take what they offered.
So you think my department's going to be, oh, wow, that's very interesting. Okay.
Because, again, I'm not seeing them say to you, well, if you want to stay, we're going to, you know, you can stay. It's not what they're saying.
Yeah, no, that's why my Yeah, no. My boss said that in the meeting like 2 days ago, something like that. We're only like 5 people in my department, though, but still.
Right. And so if you don't take it, it looks to me like you're going to be out of work, and I don't know what they'll offer you at that point. You know, maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks severance or something. Whereas this deal looks good, and I like the way they're offering you, you know, free travel. I don't know who they're going to have keeping this company running. They're offering everybody free travel for a year, but is anybody working in this company to keep it going?
Like, yeah, almost like 2 years, actually, like 2022.
Right. So they're going to offer you free travel for 2 years, but, you know, who's running the company? You know, it looks to me like they're going to try to hire some new people later on, maybe cheaper or whatever. But, you know, it doesn't look great. I mean, maybe they'll keep you a little bit longer. I'm just concerned if they if you only get 2 weeks pay after that, how is that going to, you know, then you'll get unemployment. But, And what is your boss saying, the one that's right immediately above you?
I think they're scared too, because like they've been taking PTO. Like he's not even going to be working tomorrow. They recently started working for my department. So I think they don't know what's going to happen to them either.
Have you put out resumes for other places? Because I remember you were trying to. Have you been looking?
Yeah. I started like a month and a half ago, actually 2 months probably. Yeah, I've been like, some recruiters have reached out to me, made me take tests and stuff like that. So, yeah, like I kind of like knew because, you know, COVID-19, of course, like I was going to wait and, you know, until they tell me, you know, all this bad news. So I already started like, a month and a half ago. But
I see you getting a new job.
Yeah, I've been applying. Yeah, I've been applying everywhere. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like every day. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you could take a chance on it. I mean, some people have to, you know, stay, but I didn't understand how they're offering everybody this, but they're not saying what happens if you don't take it. Like,
I'm not sure my coworkers are doing that.
I never heard of getting to the whole company, you know, because they have to keep some people working. Where's their loyalty to people who have been working a long time? I could understand them giving it to people that are more recent to the company, but, you know,
who are they
going to keep working the company? Are they going to hire all new people cheaper? I mean, what's their game plan here? So it troubled me that they offered this to everyone. Now, Nicole, are you listening here, by the way, on this? What's going on?
I am. I'm just keeping myself on mute because it's a little bit loud in my house today.
Okay, but you hear the situation. I mean, you know, they told everyone across the board in the airline that they're going to give them like 4 months pay and some stuff, but they're not saying if you don't take this offer, what happens? Like
exactly.
It seems odd to me.
For me, it's a little bit vague, you know, because it's kind of like, and I think that the reason why they're keeping it vague, and this is not just your industry, I think this is a lot of industries across the board, and that is that, you know, if they make an offer and you choose to stick it out with the way that things are right now, what they can then turn around and say is that if they offer you nothing later, you know, or if they go under and they don't give out severance or what have you, what's going to then be said is that, oh, well, it's not like we didn't do anything. We made you an offer which you did not take. So I think that you're leaving yourself without at least asking the question of, well, what happens if I don't? I think that you're leaving yourself vulnerable to take less later. I mean, and it could be you've got a 50-50 shot. It might be better later or it could be worse later. But you don't know that for sure. So, I mean, for me, I would before I set myself, you know, up for anything, I would go through and I would say, well, listen, if I choose not to take this today, you know, what does the next 4, 6, 12 months look like for my position here? You know, and I would just ask, you know, I would contact HR or contact whomever you have to, you know, and I would ask the question first.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so like one of my coworkers, he asked this to my boss, and my boss said, like, no, if you don't take it now, of course you're not going to get it, like, after, like, October 1st. Because, you know, the government helped the airline industry until, like, October 1st. But after
HR, not this particular help. Not this particular help, but I'm not necessarily talking about this particular kind of help. What I'm talking about is, let's just say, like, later on. You know, if it's, you know, what will they do? We get that it's not going to be the same package, but what does that look like for you? If you don't take this now and you choose to stick it out, what does it look like for the company? Will the company be able to help you? Will the company not be able to help you? You know, are you going to have a job? You know, are you by forfeiting this? Are you forfeiting any potential severance package if you get low at a later time, if you get, you know, get dismissed at a later time? Those are the questions that you need to ask. Not, oh, hey, listen, I don't want your help now, but catch up with me in 6 months because I may change my mind. Just kind of like, well, hey, listen, if I don't take this and I get relieved of duty here, what exactly does that look like if you lay me off in 8 months? You know, if they say, well, listen, we don't know if we're going to be financially stable in 8 months, which is why we're doing this now while the government has our back, well, then that's a larger thing for you to think about. And that's very, very simply that, you know, whether or not you have a home there is no longer up to you. It's going to be up to the powers that be, and whether or not that particular company has enough reserve capital to survive this, you know, in a time when, you know, travel is just opening back up, and in a time where, by the time you may need this assistance or need this work, you're going to be smack in the middle of flu season, and we don't know if we're going to be shut down again.
Right.
I get what you're saying. It's like another thing that I've learned, you know, you guys always say to trust my gut. I literally, because I work for the, for the fares and all that, so load factors are so low for the entire year. Like, I don't even see, like, we're going to survive. Like, it's just, like, very, very bad. You know, because I see the numbers every day. So, I don't know.
Right.
Okay.
So, again, it's what I saw is just, it looks like taking would be the best option, what they offered you. But, again, you know, you have a visa, so, you know, you're more concerned about if you don't get a job right away. But it's very tricky here for you. And but I think if you stay, you might get much less when they lay people off. I mean, they do have to keep some people working. So that's why I don't understand why they did this, why they didn't, like, keep people that have been there a long time, say you can stay, and then, like, lay off more recent employers. It just seems like a weird way to do it. This not very loyal to people who've been there for 10 years, you know, like, it's just weird. Very weird. And what is your gut telling you about it at this point?
Not to stay, because I see the numbers. Yeah, because I see the numbers. I don't even think it's going to be okay.
Wow.
No. I know, because I'm literally in the department where we sell the fare, so I know. It's okay.
And so, you know, keep me posted. You know, I'm here for you. And, you know, good luck with this. But I'm not really surprised to have seen it because the industry you're in, you know. You know, it's crazy. And I know we have, we were supposed to fly in March to Cancun, and I had insurance, and because JetBlue was giving waivers, then they didn't give me my money back, and now I have to fly by December. I don't know if I'm going to fly by December. I mean, come on, you know. Crazy. So I mean, it just seems like the whole industry is a little up in, you know, it's just up in the air. So you'll find something else, though. I'm not worried about that. So
I think I will.
Right, you will. Well, keep us posted, and good luck to you. And we're going to try to get Susan now. Okay, you know I love you. And
I love
and
you
by
too.
The way, the podcast I did last night with Gary, which will be coming out soon with Dr. Gary, we did the Akashic Records, since you seem to be interested in that one. So that's
I
what
am.
We did.
Okay.
So thanks, Natasha.
Yeah, and by the way,
podcast.
Okay, and by the way, I do nominate you every day. I go to the bestoflongislandpress.com. By the way, I do it every day. So
thank you, darling. I
Aww,
appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
I've really been lax at sending it out for people. COVID has been not slow for me. It's been like crazy, and so I don't have time to do pretty much anything but reading. So
yeah, I
see thank you
that
so
much.
Much.
I do it every day. Of course.
Thank
of course.
You.
Okay, I love you guys. Thank you.
Okay, love you too.
Bye.
Now we're going to go over to Susan. Okay.
Yes, we are. Next, okay, up we've got Susan, as you just said, Cindy. And basically, in a nutshell, Susan has been seeing somebody for about a year. This person has got a lot of abandonment issues. Now, previously, you had told Susan that this could be her soulmate. But with the abandonment issues, she's seeing two patterns emerge here. She's noticing, A, that sometimes you can get very, very hot and cold, almost like a split personality. And B, he's very, very frugal. But under normal circumstances, it might not be so bad, except for the fact that Susan is very much a caretaker. So as he's being frugal, she thinks nothing of overextending herself to supplement what he's not doing. So basically, she just wants a little bit of clarity on this relationship and to know how she could maybe break some of these patterns that seem to be emerging. So here we go out to Susan. Hello, Susan. You are on the air.
Hi, you really did a great synopsis. I don't have to say much.
Don't you love her? Don't you love her? You know, I could never do that, by the way. I'd be like, ah,
just don't
Susan,
ask me to say it twice,
because
I don't even know what I just said.
She's a natural. You see that? She should have her own. She should have her own talk show. I'm telling you, like, we just love that girl. Well, and Susan, I know Susan for a long time. She's one of my favorite clients. She's beautiful inside and out, and she's so intelligent. And remember we talk about how people are soulmates, but they don't always maintain soulmates. You know, because you know their behaviors are unhealed issues. You know what I could see here is that he loves you. Does he tell you that?
No. Mm-mm.
And
very,
you know,
very cautious, very guarded, because he really didn't hear much of that. He'll say things like, you know what everybody loves about you, you know, those type of things. No, he's become, it's more of a push-pull, and many times he'll be critical. Like, if I'm fun and flirty and upbeat, he might pull away from that. It depends.
Well, that's not, you know, and again, you know, you guys had a breakup at one point. Okay. This is
right.
not,
a few
you, know,
weeks.
You went out, you broke up, and then, you know, he realized he wanted you back. So
right.
how many times do you get a second chance? And then, like, it looks like the same issues that were there that kind of broke you up the first round are still here.
Right,
and,
right.
I don't see him getting unfrugal. Okay. That ain't changing.
Okay.
That is just too much. And again, you know, he I don't think he's the cheapest person on earth, but it's just that, you know, you end up stepping up the plate and making things, you know, like a little better with your generosity.
Right.
The more concern is that you've been together for a year. And if someone can't say the I love you words after a year or that kind of thing, it's, you know, he's deliberately artificially trying to control how close you can get, you know, like it seems
exactly.
like you get close and then he pulls away. And those mixed messages after all make you crazy, you
mm-hmm.
know. And
but I also have commitment issues. So in a way, it hasn't really been that much of an issue. But I can't see cohabiting at this point. The lifestyle that he has, the way that he lives, the lack of, I mean, everything in his house is somebody handed it down to him. If it's free, he took it. That's his decorating style. And I just can't see living with him. And I live in a small apartment. I can't see him living here. So I feel like after a year, it's a stalemate.
Right. And, you know, you haven't progressed enough where you could, you know, decide we're going to, you know, get something different together, you know, especially
right.
ours, you know. And
I don't see him leaving that house.
No, he's okay. not. He's a musician, and he has two grand pianos in his living room, and there aren't too many places where you could do that. Certainly
Great.
Not my apartment.
No, so it's almost like you guys are, sort of stuck between like a rock and a hard place.
Yes.
You know, he's kind of dreading that you're going to maybe bring some of this up, by the way.
I know.
You know, he's like, we're going to have the talk.
Right,
and,
again.
You know, and I don't think he's ready for the talk. You know, as far as it goes, you're almost at a standstill here. Like, you know,
right.
there's still the soulmate connection. I mean, you guys have a strong connection. Are you enjoying when you're with him?
90% of the time, yes. And then as soon as we get really close, the next day will be something that he'll be picky and petty about that comes out of nowhere. It's not even like we had an argument. He'll just say something critical that has nothing to do with anything. It's almost like his mind is always going, as you call it, the blemish game, trying to
right.
find sort of wrong.
Right, something wrong, and then gives him a reason to run or not get close with you.
Right.
And,
I don't
know
how to remedy that. And honestly, I don't know if that's my job to remedy it.
Or it's also because 90% of the time you're enjoying him,
right.
and the 10% you're not, well, that's not so bad, okay?
Oh.
It's not, you know, it's
I'm
not
no spring
so bad.
Chicken.
you know, at least 90% of the time, you know, you're getting along. When he does this, I wouldn't feed this monster. Like when he starts playing the game of blemish, I would
right.
just, you know, kind of, you know, to stick with the facts of what happened and don't take it personally because you know what he's doing. He's trying to sabotage this.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you have commitment issues. Do you want to live with someone?
There are times that I get really close to thinking I could do this with him, and then I say I can't. I can't
right.
because there's too many negatives that come up. So
right.
I think
and
that's my issue. And it's a pattern. I'm sure it's a pattern for him. And money issues and the push-pull thing is a pattern for me. So we're kind of feeding into each other.
Right. And you know, have you ever decided to talk to him about this? Have you ever talked about this particular issue that you feel like we get close and then you're kind of sabotaging it?
Well, I was planning on having that talk with him tomorrow, actually, when I see
Yeah,
him.
Because I would say the talk is long overdue. Like, there's a pattern
okay.
here, okay? It's
yeah.
like, and you can, I would calmly kind of take some time to write down the times he's done this
right.
so that you can say, you know, you did it like after this event or you did it after that. And
right.
I see a pattern here. We get close and then you play the game of blemish. You look for some reason why this isn't working. And, you know, I find it, you know, it's not consistent and it, you know, it's mixed messages. You have to have the talk.
Okay.
He's a very smart man. For our listeners, they don't know
yes.
who this man is. He's extremely bright. He's not a stupid person, okay?
No, absolutely not.
He's a
yeah.
very smart man. And, you know, people who are that smart, you know, he can learn, okay? He's teachable.
Do you
so,
see me with him down the line? I mean, I have somebody else who's interested, and I don't even know. He just came out of the blue recently, and I don't like to do that. You know, like I'm in a relationship. I kind of want to try to see if this one works. But if it's I'm beating a dead horse, you know, I don't know.
And, you know, that's why you have to have the talk, okay? I mean, are you supposed to be exclusive with each other?
Yeah, oh, no, I'm not looking, yeah, definitely. We really, that talk we did have, you know, no one's sleeping with anybody else. And he's,
right.
I trust him in that regard. And
no, but
I,
for you then, you can't really start seeing this other person.
Oh, I wouldn't do
know.
That.
No, I mean, have the talk with him. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's at the year mark, and the 1 year mark is when relationships, a lot of it make it or break it at that point, you know.
Right.
And, it's mostly the inconsistency that I'm seeing is not going to go over well with you if this doesn't get discussed.
Right.
I mean, I don't see him leaving you, by the way, at all. Like, he'll do this dance exactly the same way for the next 20 years. Nothing will move. Nothing will change. Okay.
Right.
I'll see you. What I see is you getting fed up with that.
Right.
Where you're going to be like, no, this isn't working for me. You know, it's just not working for me. And he doesn't want you to leave him. That's why having this talk is important. You're giving him an opportunity to, like, let's work on this. You know, and, you know, tell him how you feel. And if, you know, after you have the talk, if nothing in the next 3 months changes, then you'll have to evaluate the relationship again. But,
right.
You know, I think he's smart enough to, like, hear what you're saying. And, you know, he doesn't want you to end it. So, you know, in many ways, he's a phenomenal guy, you know, so it's worth having this talk with him about. But, you know, sometimes fundamentally people that are very frugal or cheap, whatever it is, they don't change that. You know, it
right.
is who he is.
I guess I'm getting tired of providing, you know, the food and the entertainment every week, and then when dinner comes around, he's really not all that hungry. After I've packed lunches and we've done our staycations all over Long Island and in Queens and visiting every park, you know, we're having fun. It's just, it got to the point where I said, something is wrong here, that I'm the mommy packing the lunches and providing the entertainment every week.
Right. And
yeah.
That's something you could talk to him about, that, you know, that,
right.
You want to go out. I mean, right now with COVID, it's probably worked out great for him because nobody could go anywhere for a while. So that was great. But, you know, now that, you know, restaurants are opening up, you can eat outdoors. Yeah, something has got to give here. So
yeah.
I'm expecting that you will speak up to him, and we have a reading scheduled. So
yes. Is that in person or on the phone?
You can, if you want to come here, you're more than welcome for
yes,
my
I'll
listeners.
I always like to see you.
Okay,
this
is the protocol.
Away.
You mask in, you wash your hands, we socially distance.
Okay.
You know, there's little sanitizer to bring your hands on the way out, and you mask out.
Okay, good.
Okay? And the window is open in my reading room, so
good.
You know, we're really safe here. So you know, I love more than anything to see my clients, and have made it so that. It's very, you know, it's very clean, and the readings are spaced out, so there's time to sanitize the room and the whole bit. So I would want to see you. So anyway, so you're going to kind of have the talk with him, and then in September 1st when we talk, let's see what happens after the talk, you know, and see if he gets the message.
I will.
Because
thank
you
so much. Stay
I'm
well.
I'm so glad to talk to you, and I'll be fine. I can't wait to see you, and good luck with your talk.
Thanks so much. Have a great
bye.
Week. Alrighty, bye-bye.
Now, I think this is Andrew wants to talk. So, hello, you're live and on the air.
Hey, what's up, Cindy? What's up, Nicole?
It is
what's
Andrew.
Up?
I'm like, Andrew never presses the number one. So
I haven't called in like a year, to be honest, I don't think. But
I don't
like,
think
yeah.
so. So I kept thinking, is this Andrew? Andrew's pressing to talk, or did Andrew make a mistake here? You know,
so usually Jillian will dial for me. So.
Oh yeah, Jillian. Uh huh. Our little poltergeist who likes who from the other side likes to haunt Andrew sometimes and make buttons be pressed. So Andrew, what's on your mind tonight? I'm so glad you pressed in.
No, normally I'm bike riding, but my bike's in the shop getting tuned up. So I was like, yeah, I'm free today because usually I've been listening when I bike ride. To like Smith Point or something. So.
Oh, so your bike, you rode so much it needed tuning up, huh?
Pretty much. So, I did a quick one tonight. I biked to Bellport and back, but I'm back now, so I figured to hit.
Wow. Well, it is the year of the bicycle, you know? So, you know, you can't even buy bicycles. They're like sold out everywhere. So but it's nice. It's nice to see people out and about, and we've been able to keep our COVID numbers down because people do go outside in New York, and COVID hates sun, It hates, you know, heat. So other states, they say it's too warm to go outside, but they really need to go outside. So I'm so glad that you've been doing that. And you know, your grandpa just stepped in the room to say hello to you. And have you been thinking about him a lot? Because he just couldn't wait to say hi to you.
Yeah, he was in like a dream, I think, like last week where, you know, I guess I'm realizing more like how many dreams I actually have of him where I'm like, I just wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go see Grandpa later. And I'm like, oh, no, he's not here anymore, you know. So, but yeah.
Well, you astral travel to him. That's what you do.
I know. Yeah.
And he loves that. And, you know, I got to read your dad that you gifted him for Father's Day. And you thought he was going to be a hard read. He was actually a very easy read.
All right. Good.
It was great to read him. I was like, wow. And I could see how Andrew turned out to be such a great guy. He could have been raised by a wolf. He would have turned out okay. And then he had two good parents. So what's better than that?
Yeah.
And,
no, definitely,
you know,
lucky.
So, thank you for Andrew helped me with something I needed, graphics. He's so good at it. And, of course, I don't give him great graphics, but that's what was given to me. So,
you know.
Well, remember, Grant Me a Higher Love is not a new book. It's from 2008, so the graphics are from then. So, I don't know. Did the graphics get better since then?
Actually, I thought the book graphic was good because you said I could change it. And I was like, yeah, I kind of looked at it. I'm like, it talks about what the graphics basically represent what the book is. So it didn't really need to be changed. But,
wow.
No, it's fine.
Well, good. Well, I'm so glad I got to talk to you. And I'm going to try to see what Debbie Tony might have to say before we end our show. And it's always good to hear from Andrew, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, if you ever want to go sailing, don't forget TJ goes sailing still.
I figure me and TJ have our traditional Labor Day sail coming up, so.
Okay, good. Good. Maybe the Labor Day Sunday or whatever would be good.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So he would love that. So,
I know he would.
Because I'll be working that day, so that's a good day. So.
Yep. No, that's usually what we do. I think Labor Day Sunday we go. So.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for calling in, and have a great week. I'm going to just see what Debbie Tony has to say.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Hello, Debbie Tony. You're live and on the air.
Hello, Cindy. I'm glad Andrew called in. That's wonderful.
I know. We haven't heard from him. Like,
I know.
And Andrew's the one who saved the day with Beethoven with
that
great backdrop.
I think of him all the time.
Right. You see? He saved the day. So how are you doing now? How are you doing today?
We're hanging in there. I think we're a little bit sad now that we realize my dad's really gone. We had that. I sang at his intention mass. Monsignor made an exception, and I was able to sing an opening and closing number last Sunday.
Oh, that's nice.
So, I think it hit my mom and me a little bit hard over this week, or the last 2 weeks, actually. So I don't know if there's any, and you always pick up when you have something to say to me. So,
well,
I am open.
That, you guys were a little bit in shock when he died, and so the shock has started to wear off.
Okay.
And that's what you're experiencing. Now you're in the, like, reality. You know, you can almost say he was away and maybe he's coming back any minute. And so, you know, he seems to be adjusting well to the other side. He's by your pool a lot. So when you're in the pool, you can expect to have him visiting.
Yesterday we had a dragonfly. One.
Yep.
That was him. Okay.
And he likes to be by the pool. And, you know, he's sad that you guys are sad, but he's actually happy. He said, you know, he was no longer himself.
I know.
And, you know, so he was only going to kind of
get
wide. Yeah. And so he's asking you to understand that he's okay. And, he hopes that, you know, you guys relax and enjoy what's left of the summer. And he's just really happy. He said he's got so many visitors. People, everybody comes to say hello to him. They come to visit him.
Awesome.
So, you know, he's adjusting. And of course you miss him. And, you know, he can't wait to hear you singing again, and thank God you got to sing for him. That made him happy.
Oh, so, I'm so glad. Because my mom actually pursued the Monsignor. I was like, Ma, I don't want to be a pain. And she's like, I'm calling. Nice. So it happened.
Well, and that's really great. And so, you know, he appreciates it. And, you know, saying thank you for all the kind things you ever did for him, and especially for the last year that you went, where he said you were above and beyond the call of duty. And he thanks you very much and for everything.
And I don't even think it was enough.
And he's also thrilled to death that he doesn't have to deal with any of the AIDS anymore, you know?
Yeah, that was annoying. So, thank you.
I'm going to close our show with the fact that it's my Aunt Jenny's 103rd birthday. Happy birthday, Aunt Jenny.
Happy birthday.
I know. Could you imagine 103 years? This is her second pandemic, by the way. Okay. This is the second one. So, you know, she's lived through a lot. And, you know, she's just amazing. So I wanted to just tell her that. And well, we had a very good show with all kinds of different people from everywhere, and good luck to everybody. And can you see all the turmoil and this and that from COVID? It doesn't end, you know. But to make Natasha feel better, normally when we get moved forward, it's because God wanted us to move forward, and something better awaits for her at the end of that. So good luck to everybody, and we'll speak next week. Thank you. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank
enjoy
you,
your kayak.
Cindy. Oh, I am enjoying it very much. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Nicole.